Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again.
Woo!
Yay! That's all cannon fodder.
Hey everyone!
Hey, how you guys doing?
And welcome to this week's episode of
Matt's Not Here.
Well, your weekly podcast where I'm actually here.
Bad. Yeah, right.
Yeah, he won't leave.
It's hard. Yeah,
it's kind of hard. We've tried ditching him, and it just doesn't work.
It's like really hard.
He's like sleeping on the floor of the studio. I have to step over him every morning because he gets up at like noon.
Yeah. He does. He's like a fucking cat.
It's hard.
You know, it's
so hard. It's throbbing.
You know what's weird though?
Whoa.
What? No, because you stepped on me when I was sleeping.
Like, right off the bat, he's already making a penis right there. Innuendo. So.
But, no, the thing is, right, he's been sleeping in the studio for I don't know, how long were we on the break? He's just kind of been here.
We were off for about a month.
Right. Yeah. Every time he's been asleep, he's been cuddling this book, right?
Oh, what book?
I've been trying to pull it out and check it out every night. I kind of see the title. I haven't had a chance to read it until recently. He's actually been cuddling this fucking old-ass book. It's called... Mother Goose Classic Nursery Rhymes.
And, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That takes me back to my youth, maybe. I don't know.
He wasn't going
to
pry that from my hands. I was hibernating for a month. We were gone.
So hard.
Jesus.
It was so difficult.
I can imagine so. This man loves reading.
So, yeah, let's make this week's episode about this book and what's in it.
Fuck it. Why not? This week's episode is all about nursery rhymes.
I mean, it's not like we didn't plan this research
already.
We
totally did.
The real
that was a nice little setup.
Right.
Of nursery rhymes.
Right, the real meaning. What's crazy is the nursery rhymes that we're going to show you guys, how there's so many different variations and so many, like, quote-unquote nicer versions of, like, kid ones.
And how they've changed them over the
years. How they've made them softer for kids.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, because the true meanings are darker than my wardrobe.
Oh, so dark.
Before we do that, though, let's go ahead and put this out there. Make sure you guys are following us on Facebook at...
Matt's Not Here.
On Instagram...
Matt's Not Here Podcast.
And make sure you check out our TikTok, Matt's Not Here Podcast.
And also, join the cult. Cult of MNH on Facebook. Share your most fucked up memes. Maybe give us some topic ideas if you want to hear something on air.
And just so you're all prepared for it, when you click on join, it's going to ask you a very simple question. It's going to ask you, what does MNH stand for?
It's going to ask you a secondary question as well.
There's no wrong answer to that one.
Is a hot dog a sandwich? There is no right or wrong answer, but we will be judging you.
Yes. Does it really ask that now?
It does.
Oh, awesome.
I made that one of the questions.
Yes. And in that group, you can, you know, give us ideas for topics. You can add things to our topics. If we, you know, had, I think we mentioned this was going to happen on last week's podcast, that this week we're doing this setup, you know, nursery rhymes. We may have mentioned it. I don't remember.
I don't think we did.
But... any case, it doesn't matter because
we're doing it.
We're doing it, but also in the time that we're recording this, this week's episode has been out for 24 hours, which is not enough time for people to send us anything. So yeah,
But feel free to drop suggestions on there, topic ideas. Yes. Even if you just want to send us a quick comment, let us know if we're doing good, bad, whatever.
And if you
send us hate mail, I don't care.
If you go to our Instagram and you click on that link, you can go to our anchor page and send us a message. And your message might get played on air.
And probably will. More than likely.
More than likely. If you send us a message, we're going to play it.
Yeah. So we're going to throw up a poll in the Cult of MNH. So make
sure
Matt's
going to dance on it.
Oh, jeez.
Brett's a better pole dancer than I am.
This is true.
But.
It's not wrong.
If you guys would like to see Lewis without a beard.
Oh, no.
Mm.
No.
We're going to upload a poll.
No. I can't high five you to that.
No, you're not. But. We're gonna put a poll and we're gonna see just basically yes or no. Do you guys want to see what Lewis looks like without a beard?
Lewis doesn't want to look at
Lewis
without a beard.
Lewis's opinion doesn't matter.
Wow, thanks.
Yeah,
I mean you're right, but go on.
I mean about your facial hair, but yeah.
Well, there's that.
So should we jump into this episode?
I think we got all that out of the way, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Let's jump right into it, shall we?
So what was this cannon fodder we were talking about?
So
I have no idea what you're talking about. Should I give a quick description of what a nursery rhyme is first?
What is a nursery rhyme? Like, what's a nursery rhyme?
So a nursery rhyme is a traditional poem or song for children in Britain and many other countries. But usage of the term only dates from the late 18th, early 19th century. The term Mother Goose Rhymes is interchangeable with nursery rhymes. So nursery rhymes have been argued to have hidden meanings and origins. John Bellender Kerr, for example, wrote 4 volumes arguing that English nursery rhymes were actually written in Low Saxon, a hypothetical early form of Dutch. He then translated them back into English, revealing in particular a strong tendency to anti-clericalism. Many of the ideas about the links between rhymes and historical persons or events can be traced back to Catherine Ewell's book, The Real Personages of Mother Goose, in which she linked famous nursery rhymes characters with real people. On little or no evidence, she posited that children's songs were a peculiar form of coded historical narrative, propaganda, or covert protest, and did not believe that they were written simply for entertainment. So that being said, these are all open to interpretation.
So they basically made these for kids.
Oh, yeah. Originally, yes.
Right. So it was a way to be like, how can we get kids to secretly hate the people in charge?
So this is how we subliminally rhymes. Brainwash children before television.
Right. You're reading too much into it, but yes, I think so.
I mean, you're reading too much into it, but you're right. So you're reading the right amount into it. I don't know. I like the subtlety. It's a lot more... It's a lot better than, you know, like Kathy Lee Gifford's, you know, picture.
Yeah.
There was no subtlety in that.
No, absolutely not.
So let's not be subtle.
Okay.
So this egg that fell off a wall.
Yes.
There was really no egg, was there?
You mean so they're not making omelets?
Well, no. That's the thing. There was never egg because it was never specified that he was an egg.
I always thought it was like.
If you look at the actual nursery rhyme, it's never specified in there that he's an egg.
But what do they teach you in like? You know, kindergarten and grade school.
Yeah, it's...
They mention an egg, right?
You know, that's true. There's no mention of egg in the whole nursery rhyme.
None whatsoever.
In every single illustration I've ever seen of it, it's an egg dressed in, like Victorian royalty clothing.
Right.
And he sat on a wall, and then he falls, and it's a bunch of kids like, oh no, our pal Humpty fell. Let's put him together, friends. Sort of like a Sesame Street type shit. And then, you know, oh, yay, they fixed it.
And that's how Frankenstein was born.
Well, it's because if they actually illustrated who they were trying to portray in the nursery rhyme, they probably would have gotten into some serious trouble.
Back then, probably not.
Why?
Well, the lyrics portray Richard as someone with a... Richard is... they're talking about Richard III of England, by the way. They portray him as someone with a hump back who fell off the white... courser he was riding, the wall, during the Battle of Bosworth Field in 1485 and was brutally killed. Despite the fact that Richard III actually got killed in the Battle of Bosworth Field, there's no concrete evidence of how it actually happened. So this whole rhyme was written kind of as satire? No, not a satire. Help me out here, Matt. You're thinking. I can see you thinking. I can see the wheels turning.
Yeah, but I'm like jumping way ahead in my mind, so I'm trying to backtrack to think about this particular...
Well, it was written as symbolism, more or less.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because a lot of these have multiple meanings.
And yeah, multiple, yeah. And multiple we'll jump into that. So this is one of the interpretations that it was written by King Richard III. Because, again, nowhere in the rhyme does it state that he's an egg.
No, not at all.
You know,
but that's kind of
that's how it's been illustrated.
That's kind of one of those things that's been illustrated through history. And like I said, I'm looking at this book here. This book has illustrations in it. I'll show you guys in a second. And obviously, they can't see it here, so I'll do my best to describe it. But if you look at this picture, on the left, you've got the traditional Humpty as an egg sat on a wall. But then Lewis, what were you saying? He was on a horse when he got taken off. His horse was nicknamed the Wall. Yeah, pretty sure that's what you said. Was listening.
Maybe he was just.
He fell off the white courser he was riding.
The white courser.
The wall.
The wall.
So
right?
Yeah, the horse.
Right, and then it shows that picture right to the on the other side is a guy on a horse. So this is kind of portraying both sides of it. The classic version with the egg.
I see that.
Kids,
I see
and then
that.
The actual
okay
gentleman on the horse, and if you look at him, like he looks like a fucking egg shaped head, chubby dude.
I just find that interesting that this was written as a child's rhyme. Yeah. But in reality, it's so much deeper and darker than that.
Dude. And there's a whole other meaning.
There's a whole,
that's,
you know,
that's, that we haven't even touched on yet. There's a whole other interpretation.
Because, again, these are all open to interpretation. So yeah. I pointed out the obvious one, the one that most places will cite.
Yeah, I heard one.
I looked at you like you're going to say something.
I heard one from Matt that was, I think, better.
So,
like,
let's get away from this one. Let's go ahead. Matt, you had another one, right?
Well, for this, for Humpty Dumpty, they were referring to supposedly that Humpty was this cannon, this heavy cannon that they had up on the wall.
Okay.
And I don't remember if it had fallen down in battle or whatnot, but basically this cannon fell off the wall, and meaning, you know, all of the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again.
Because they couldn't lift his
cannon back up onto the wall because it was too heavy.
Okay.
I mean, could you imagine at that time? That's when cannons were very popular. I could imagine them having a big fortress with a fucking massive cannon on it, and all the guys are like, "Yo, we call this Humpty Dumpty because it's gonna fucking hump a fucking iron ball at you.
It's gonna
dump thee onto your fucking dome."
Oh man.
Dumped thee onto your dome.
Yeah.
Oh geez. So that's Humpty Dumpty, and you know that was written in 1797.
Right on.
I forgot to mention that, but
and that's our collective nursery rhyme, and then each of us have our own two each or more. We got a couple.
I have a couple that I want to discuss.
Okay, so who wants to start?
Don't matter.
I'll pop this cherry.
Okay.
So I chose one that my mom actually used to read to me almost every night as a kid.
Are you going
to
sing it for
why
us?
I chose it. I'll do my best.
Is this why you turned out the way you did?
Oh my God. Looking back on it, yes.
Making sense now.
Yeah. So
it wasn't just the Gators.
It was so much more. So much more. So this one's Rock-a-bye Baby. For those that don't know, it's Rock-a-bye Baby. I'm fucking going to sing this horribly, by
That's
the way.
That's fine. We're only going to silently judge you.
Rock-a-bye Baby on the treetop.
It's in the treetop.
No, this says on the treetop.
No, it does?
Yeah, see? That's another thing I want to talk about with nursery rhymes, all right?
So they kept
shut the
words.
Fuck up. Mm-hmm. Let me finish it, and then we'll talk about it.
Sing.
So start it from the beginning.
Rock-a-bye Baby on the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the ball breaks, the cradle will fall. And down will come baby, cradle and all.
Wow.
She didn't normally end it like that, but I always pictured the ending like that when it was, because
I love it.
By the time, like, right, mind you, she sung this to me a lot as a kid because it was like my bedtime song, and then I would knock out. As I got older, I was like, yo, mom, what's a ball? Like, what? And my mom told me it's another word for a tree branch, and I was like, why the fuck is the baby in the tree? And why does this nursery rhyme that you're putting me to bed with end with the fucking baby falling out of the tree?
Yeah, that's a very weird one. I never quite understood it myself. I kept trying to analyze it, like, why are we singing about a baby in a tree? This is child neglect. Where's CPS?
Right. So the history I found about it was in the 13th century, there was a ritual. This is where it gets real fucking dark. Before we jump into that, though, I want to mention the different song or the different wordings.
So there's different lyrics.
Yeah. So one of the ones I found was "Rock-a-bye Baby on the treetop when the green cradle in the green cradle." I wrote it down and then lost it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna dig through it right here.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah,
you guys talk.
Did your mom ever sing "Rock-a-bye Baby" to you?
I don't know.
Maybe
she sung "Little Boy Blue."
Little Boy Blue. That's such a weird one.
I know.
That is another weird one. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick.
Little Boy Blue. Something, 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 something. I don't remember.
Little Boy Blue, come blow your horn. The sheep's in the meadow, the cow's in the corn. Where is the boy who looks after the sheep? He's under the haystack, fast asleep. Little Boy Blue, come blow your horn. The sheep's in the meadow, the corn's in the cow's in the corn. Will you wake him? No, not I. For I do, he's sure to cry.
Aw.
That's such a weird one to sing as well. And I'm pretty sure there's a story behind that one too.
Oh, there is.
You want to talk about it?
I vaguely remember.
I vaguely remember that one.
All right, so here's where this one differs. So the one that we just read, "Rock-a-bye Baby on the treetop, when the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the ball, When the ball breaks, the cradle will fall, and down will come baby, cradle and all. In this book, it's a little different.
Right.
It goes, rock-a-bye baby, the cradle is green. Father's a nobleman, mother's a queen. And the baby's a lady. The baby's a lady, and where... Fucking A. The baby's a lady and wears a gold ring, and Johnny's a drummer and drums for the king.
Yeah, it was definitely changed appeal to children a little more, right? You know?
So when you look up the true meaning of the original one, where he's in the ball, in the 13th century, when children were born with issues or even stillborn.
Or deformities, right? Perhaps?
Deformities or stillborn. They would take the child, put it in a cradle or cage.
Okay.
And then take this dead baby.
Oh.
In a cage.
Ooh.
Climb up a tree and hang this cage from a tree.
Yeah, this got dark real quick.
Yeah. And supposedly, according to the ritual, the wind would blow, knock the cradle down, and if the baby were to come back to life, he would land on the ground. Alive and healthy.
That never happened, did it?
No.
I don't think it happened once in the history of this ritual.
No, that doesn't sound like something feasible. No.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. Again, these are all interpretations, so we don't know if this actually happened. These are just connections that people made throughout history. One of my favorite ones that I found is the Davy Crockett connection. Which Go is on. This is a more recent claim that the Rockabye Baby was written by Effie Crockett, a cousin of the legendary Davy Crockett. Effie Crockett, who later went by Effie the First, claimed that she wrote the lyrics to the nursery rhyme in 1872 as a way to claim the fussy infant when she was babysitting. Although many people doubt her claim, a search for Effie the First, Cannon's IMDb filmography shows that she will be given credit for the lyrics on more than 175 television shows.
Whoa.
So this lady who wrote this in 1827 is getting credit for a newsroom. She may have not even written, but all because she was the niece of Davy Crockett and she babysat him when he was a kid.
Wow.
Right? Like,
that's such a weird connection.
It's so fucking weird. So, it's, yeah. And I always, like, just got real tripped out about the whole treetop thing. Like,
see, I've never heard any interpretations of that myself, like, or any explanations as to it myself. So the one you mentioned right now is, right. Is the only time I've ever hearing anything about it.
I've always, like, seen a few things, because this is one that was read to me, and I was like, what the fuck? Why is this a nursery rhyme? Because if you look at the lyrics straight on, there's a fucking baby in a cradle in a tree, and the fucking thing falls out of the tree. Like, that's not even sugarcoated. That's literally the lyrics. I'm like, who the fuck's putting babies in trees? I gotta look this up. So I looked it up a little bit in the past and was like, oh, wow, that's fucking dark. And
that's super dark, dude.
Read to me a bunch when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my one. That's
very dark.
And
it's interesting. I never heard the other lyrics.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I always heard it as
new
the
rockabye
first
baby on the treetop. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Like, when in this book is the first time I ever came across it being the cradle is green, the dude's got a ring in the king and all that other shit I can't remember.
That's interesting. Those might be like the English lyrics.
Yeah, I think these are like the cleaned up or English versions, because if you look at a lot of them, it's like what you were saying at the beginning, what goes back to these were used as ways to like jab at the noblemen and jab at the kings and queens and the people in charge in England without actually saying, you know, hey, fuck the king. Because if you actually said, hey, that king's a dick, you know, you'd get decapitated. But if you sang, thy king is a Richard, people would be like, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's like,
right.
There's a couple nursery rhymes that were written around. I don't remember which ones particularly. Maybe you guys will remember. But what was her name? Bloody Mary, Queen Mary.
Like, right.
Yes.
Right.
Like, because she was trying to push Catholicism in, like, what, the Protestant realm, and anybody who was, like, not Catholic or didn't agree
I think
to
the
that,
one you're thinking about is Three Blind Mice.
Three Blind Mice is one of them, yes.
Yeah, Three Blind Mice.
Because
three
there, was
blind
no
mice.
There was no blind
See
mice.
See how they run. They all ran after the farmer's wife who cut off their tails with a carving knife. Did you ever see such a sight in your life? The three blind mice. Yeah, three blind mice is another rhyme whose writer remains unknown as well. And was the first published in 1805. The song is reportedly about Queen Mary I of England, also known as
Bloody Mary.
The farmer's wife in the lyrics is believed to be referring to Queen Mary I, whereas the three blind mice is believed to refer to three Protestant bishops named Nicholas Radley, Hugh Latimer, and Thomas Cranmer, the Archbishop of Canterbury. These bishops, who were famously known as the Oxford Martyrs, were burnt at the stake under the orders of Mary after they were found guilty of heresy. But were these men blindfolded before being executed? The answer is no. Many suspect that the blindness of the three mice could have been created by crypto-Catholics who saw Protestantism as a form of blindness.
Yeah, because they were blind to Catholicism.
Right.
You're so blind to what I believe.
There was no
limbs.
So
you must be blind.
There was no limbs cut off. There was no blinding of the eyes. Nope. They were lucky that didn't happen to them because they were just burned at the stake.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Because they were heretics.
Martyrs.
No, they were heretics. They were burned as martyrs.
Yeah, they were burned as martyrs. A heretic is, you know, you don't believe what we believe, so fuck you.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, yeah.
So... Now,
hey, that's another one we got there.
We snuck it in there.
Hey, yeah, nice. Stuck in an extra one.
Nice.
You were talking about falling, the cradle falling.
Right.
Well, what about Ring-a-Ring-a-Rosies?
Huh?
That's what it, I guess, was originally called. All of us know it as Ring Around the Rosie.
No, I was about to say, like, Matt, you fucked up. Let's re-edit that.
It was Ring-a-Ring-a-Roses.
Ring a ring of roses.
So this is originally a British one, so that's why.
Yeah, so it was ring a ring of roses, a pocket full of posies, a tissue, we all fall down. The king has sent his daughter to fetch a pail of water. A tissue, we all fall down. The bird upon the steeple sits high above the people. A tissue, we all fall down. The cows are in the meadow, lying fast asleep. A tissue, we all get up again.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
So most of us know it as ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. I almost think that the more modern meaning is almost more fucked up in a way because of the whole ashes, ashes, we all fall down, because this was all during the Black Plague, the bubonic plague, the Great Plague, whatever you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
And
I do remember reading about this one.
Yeah. The whole ring of roses was when you would get the plague, you would have this sore on you that was like a ring, a red, rosy colored ring.
Oh.
Yeah, so you'd get this sore on you, and then people knew that you were eventually going to succumb to the plague. And they would carry a pocket full of posies.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that was for the smell, right?
Exactly, because they smelled terrible when they would be dying of the plague, I guess. So...
dying obviously isn't going to make you smell very well, apparently.
No,
apparently not. And we're not even going to get into the graveyard fornications.
Say what now? Okay, no, we definitely are.
We definitely are now.
We weren't before, but we are now.
Long story, they had crazy group sex of all these people that had the plague, and they would straight up just fuck, and you know they're going to die anyway, so they would just go in the graveyard and yeah,
like, we're going to die here, we're going to get buried here, so let's fuck here. Fucking right on. I'm down
with
it.
Fucking weird.
I forget what they called it. There was a specific name for it, but it's irrelevant to the nursery rhyme.
Graveyard Mash.
Hey.
Oh, geez.
It was a monster smash.
It was a graveyard smash.
So, obviously, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. It wiped out so many people, and the whole ashes thing is they would try to cremate them and during that time the best they could.
They burned the bodies in an effort. They burned the bodies in an effort to prevent the spread of the plague.
Right. Yeah, and that's, you know, understandable.
Right.
So like these little children are running around in the schoolyard playground singing "Ring Around the Rosy," pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down, and they all fall on the floor.
And it was about the plague.
Yeah.
And what was the plague?
The bubonic plague.
A virus.
Spreading
throughout. A place.
And it's still around.
And taking things out.
Oh, yeah. It definitely is still around.
What I'm getting at is, are kids going to run around and sing about Corona?
Mask upon the face.
Can't go in any place.
Concerts are shut down. I am bored. I'm stuck at home with a television cord.
Collecting unemployment.
Like, for those of you
listening, getting that sweet, right, sweet stimmy.
For those of you listening, man, please send us the 2021 version of Ring Around the Rosies, but yes. use the plague and masks and all that, and we'll play it on the episode.
Yeah. So I'm really into symbolism. Really cool.
I want to hear that. Actually, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
So I'm connecting dots that don't even exist with this. So you see it here. It says connecting. The bird upon the steeple sits high above the people.
Right.
What did the plague doctor look like?
He had
a beak. Like a bird.
He almost looked like a bird, and he's watching down on these dead.
Right.
Oh shit.
So I'm like, did that line refer to something fucking like that, or was it just referring to a real bird? Watching all this go down.
Do you know the significance of that beak, by the way?
I don't remember. I read up all on that.
The doctors.
It's for social distancing.
These plague doctors used to believe that the plague itself was caused by bad smells. So they would walk around with these beaks. They weren't really beaks, but
with the beaks,
they were made to look like beaks. They would put incense and these smelling flowers in there.
So they're walking around smelling dope stuff all day.
Because they figured, if it doesn't smell bad, I can't catch the plague.
Kind of like...
And also to cover up the dead smell.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
And also to cover up
you
the dead smell.
You guys know what we're talking about.
Not, I mean, it's kind of, that's not what I was getting at, but sure.
What Matt the hell were you getting at?
It's kind of like, you know...
Are we still talking about fornicating with the dead?
Not at all. Putting something on your face.
Mask?
That may or may not...
Prevent you from getting sick. Yeah.
But you feel like it's doing something.
Yeah, it's all psychological.
Right.
Right.
So,
yep.
I'm going to wear a beak. All right, Matt.
I mean, the masks aren't psychological. I mean, let's be honest.
No.
See, I'm wondering how a tissue went
from
a tissue to ashes to ashes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they burned them with their clothes on. I have no idea.
Maybe you stop blowing your nose and you light tissue. Yourself on fire.
What?
Because it went from a tissue to ashes, we all fall down.
I think a tissue is something else in English literature. It's spelled T-I-S-H-O-O, right?
Yes.
I think a tissue is a flower of sorts.
That is possibly true.
Jamie, could you pull that up?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now.
<I'm just kidding>.
Thanks, Jamie. Appreciate that.
Hope you guys enjoy this dead silence while we all research what stuff dead we should have known.
Well, no, I wasn't aware that we were going to bring up tissue. I know that it has something relating with a flower, I believe. A tissue is a...
Oh, it's because the sneezing. People would sneeze, you know,
so
cough and
so it literally
sneeze.
Was a tissue.
So saying a tissue...
It's a tissue. Fucking A.
That's where tissue
fucking
comes
from. Fucking A. Duh. Wow, did we all just simultaneously realize that?
Jeez, I was wrong. I'm sorry, my bad.
All right, next...
So a tissue, it was a sign that they had caught the plague if they were going to tissue.
Oh,
a tissue, we all fall down.
Holy shit.
Bitch.
Motherfucker, why didn't I get that? Shit.
Wow,
I guess I'm not as smart as I thought I was.
Nobody did.
Wow, fuck you.
I said nobody thinks this.
I thought you meant nobody thinks I'm smart.
No.
Well, I mean, you are wearing a pin on your shirt that says Stupidiotic.
That's actually a store out in Big Bear.
I didn't know they had a store.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty nice. Anyway, we're deviating here.
Lewis.
What? That's my name.
You got a rhyme?
I do.
Let's hear it.
And this one is from 1777.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Throwing it way back.
Throwing it way back.
Yeah. That's like.
Oh, this is going to segue.
That's so old, it's not even going to show up in Facebook memories.
It might. This one's called Jack and Jill. So, Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. Up Jack got and home did trot, as fast as he could caper, and went to bed and bound his head with vinegar and brown paper. When Jill came in, how she did grin to see Jack's paper plaster. Mother Vex did whip her next for causing Jack's disaster. Bet you didn't know there were more lines to that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
It's funny because we learned about the fucked up real meaning of this in like high school or something, and I don't remember most of it.
Well,
And I reread about it last night, and I still don't remember most of it.
So there are many theories regarding the origin and meaning of the lyrics.
So before we fully jump into that, I have the alternate version again, because, again, remember, as we read these, I have the book, and the book has the same ones, but it's slightly different.
Okay, hit me.
So the one in the book goes, Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. Up Jack got, and home did trot, as fast as he could caper, to old Dame Dob, who patched his knob with vinegar and brown paper. So it's very, very similar, but a different person fixes his dome.
And no. Gets, no. She fixes his knob. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Oh.
No, I'm pretty sure they meant knob.
I'm
as
pretty sure
head.
They meant knob as head, but in the UK, if she's gonna polish his knob, man. Oh, you busted your dome open? Let me suck that dick.
Well, over there in the UK, they're like, you know, they call people knobheads when they're idiots. So maybe they're referring to his knob because he fucking is an idiot and
he fell. Who falls on grass and splits their head open? By the way,
an idiot. A bloody knob.
Bloody knob. All right, sorry. So, so that's the other version.
Right. So. As I was saying, there are many theories regarding the origin and meaning of the lyrics of the traditional English nursery rhyme Jack and Jill. The song's lyrics basically talk about two characters named Jack and Jill who climb up a hill to fetch water. In the course of getting the water from the top of the hill, Jack falls down and sadly breaks his crown. Jill meets the same sad fate shortly after. So the most common interpretations of the lyrics include the following. The characters Jack and Jill often believed to represent King Louis XIV of France and his wife Marie Antoinette, Queen of France, respectively. King Louis XIV was beheaded by guillotine in 1793. Jack fell down and broke his crown.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so, see? And Marie Antoinette was beheaded some months later. Jill came tumbling after.
And a slang term for your head is your crown.
Right. So this interpretation of the rhyme sounds very convincing, but the only problem with it is the fact that the earliest publication of the rhyme occurred in 1777, which happened almost three decades after King Louis XIV and his wife, Queen Marie Antoinette, were executed in 1793.
Weren't they executed because of Bloody Mary or something like that? Wasn't there a tie to that?
Oh, shit. Callback.
I think that was the other nursery rhyme that was had something to do with
I mean, if this was
Mary...
If this came from 1777 and the actual event didn't happen till 1793, was this person predicting the future?
All nursery rhymes are written by time travelers.
I was going to say on next week's episode, we talk about time travel. No, I'm just kidding.
So another popular theory regarding this children's song is that it's actually about King Charles I of England and his plans to increase taxes imposed on alcoholic beverages. After Charles's attempt to levy higher taxes on alcohol was rejected by the Parliament of England, he decided to go about achieving his aim in a very clever way by maintaining the tax rate on alcohol, but ordering that the volume of a Jack, also known as a half pint, or Jill, as a quarter pint, to be lowered. He therefore succeeded in indirectly achieving a tax reform on alcoholic beverages despite being vetoed by Parliament. All in all, the Jack fell and Jill came tumbling after. Huh. So that's a little bit different.
Yeah,
but I much prefer the other one, the King Louis XIV and Marie Antoinette. Because that one's a little more morbid.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're here for.
It's a little darker. I like that one.
Any thoughts on that one?
But I know taxes were a big influence on nursery rhymes, for sure.
So
taxes still suck today.
Right.
Well, the biggest one for me that I found was relating to taxes is Baba Black Sheep. Baba Black Sheep, have you any wool? Oh, you were going to segue into that? You want to take this one over?
I was going to...
That's the second segue that's been stolen today.
Seriously.
I had one stolen, but I didn't mention it.
I pointed it out because I'm a dick.
I mean, if you guys have one, just fucking raise your hand.
Oh, yeah, we stopped doing it. Anyway, so you'd mentioned, when was this one written?
Baba Black Sheep?
No. Fuck this one. Go back one nursery rhyme.
So Jack and Jill.
So we don't discuss Baba Black Sheep?
No, we will.
We'll discuss it later.
But
1777. The year after America was born.
I was going to say, the year after America.
America.
And if I were to say, just, we're going to do a word association thing, using nursery rhymes, name the first nursery rhyme that comes to mind when I say America.
Yankee Doodle went to town.
Oh, yeah.
Finish it.
Riding on a pony. Stuck a feather in his head and called it macaroni.
Yes. Hey. Thank you. You know that's making fun of Americans and calling them fucking idiots.
Yep.
Yeah.
We learned about that one in school, too.
So, like, I remember reading that one. I'm like, fuck yeah, America. And then I looked into it and called it macaroni. Macaroni was a term used by the Brits at the time to say a fashionable...
fancy hat.
Fancy hat person. Not even just a hat, but a very fancy person. Somebody high up in the social status, right? Well, Yankee Doodle is Yankee meaning an American.
But we're still referred to as Yankees.
Still referred to as Yankees. But a doodle at the time was for a simpleton.
Oh.
So if I'm calling you a doodle, I'm calling you a fucking idiot.
You right? fucking doodle. You
fucking doodle. Right?
Hey, I'm going to bring that one back.
Which makes sense. You're doodling.
Right. You're doodling. I'm doing nothing. I'm fucking around. But Yankee Doodle came to town riding on a pony. Fucking at the time, right? Rich noblemen rode horses. Uh-huh. If you couldn't afford a horse, what are you going to get?
A pony.
A pony.
A tiny pony.
A small horse. Came to town riding on a pony. Stuck a feather in his hat and called it macaroni.
So they're referring to us as peasants?
They were referring to us as simpletons and peasants. Basically like, oh, these fucking Yanks are going to go ahead and take a feather, put it in their cap and call themselves fancy? Fuck them. And it was written in a bar, of all places, by the
way. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the most American shit ever... We took that song and went, fuck you, we're going to sing it proudly.
And we still sing it in schools.
And people still sing it in schools.
Right.
That's one of the things that just cracked me up.
Maybe not so much anymore because of cancel culture. They might find something offensive in there. And
Yankee Doodle went to town to Yankee Doodle went to town. You know, it went from like this making fun of
it into, yeah.
And then now we're all proud singing it.
Fuck yeah, I'm glad to be an idiot is what they're saying.
I'm glad to be a fucking doodle.
Thanks for that sound clip.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What sound clip?
Huh?
What?
Yeah, the song is basically written as an insult to Americans. Like, British people were like so pissed off that we dipped out and said, fuck your tea tax. they wrote a whole fucking song. Right. They was the first diss track from one country to another.
And we took it and made it our own.
Just like fuck just you, like
we're gonna embrace this shit.
Right?
Just like the land.
We're gonna embrace the shit out of this.
We took it and made it our own. Just like
how Kyle got America.
Hey, let's go ahead and take an ad break and we'll be right back.
All right, here's a word from our sponsor.
Apocalypse hit. The fans full of shit. Zombies are coming after. Hysterical laughter, hysterical cries, as the zombies feast upon their eyes. You're wearing their shirts as you run in their shoes. Zombies are after you. But fear not your demise, for you're looking quite nice in your zombie killer clothing.
All right.
Welcome back, everybody.
That was a word from our sponsor.
And that was an original nursery rhyme written for Zombie Killer Clothing by the good folks at LMB Productions.
So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know who wrote that, but that was good.
I think it was Bill in the back room. He came over the other day and was like, yo, you're doing nursery rhymes, right? And he dropped this on my lap.
And I was like, Bill, was that you? Oh yeah, confirmed. It was Bill.
So yeah,
sounds like he's eating donuts again.
Yeah, he's always eating donuts. What else?
You said they were donuts.
I said, nothing. Save me a glazed one.
Nothing, Bill.
Get you a glaze.
Oh jeez, Bill, get back to minding that boiler. Anyway,
we need somebody to pay our bills.
Ridiculous.
I think you pissed Bill off, dude. I gotta go talk to Bill later now.
You might want to sleep with One Eye Open tonight.
Well, wait, you know somebody named One Eye Open? Oh, I'm so glad I got a laugh in the background.
So, for Zombie Killer Clothing, you can find them on Facebook at...
confessions of a zombie killer.
On Instagram at
Zombie Killer Clothing.
And we'll, of course, we'll post them on our
you can click in the link in our show notes.
Make sure you pick up their shirts, their shoes, those fucking shoes.
We're still waiting for you guys to send us some shoes.
Yeah, we're still waiting on one of y'all to buy us some shoes.
Yeah.
And then the hats.
100% Italian leather.
Yes. And obviously the hats are dope as fuck, and they rep California.
Yeah.
Also,
all their stuff is pretty dope.
A ton of stuff that's dope. Anyway, let's get back to these nursery rhymes. We got a couple more, and then we got some other stuff. Pretty much what I think we did on last episode, and we got something that we're gonna make maybe a recurring thing on this episode and maybe the next episode, and then I have a movie recommendation for later. Yes, folks.
Is it zombie related?
No, this one's more of a general horror movie.
Well, then drop it now.
Should we drop it now?
Let's drop it now.
Might as well.
So this, if you guys like shitty horror movies.
I do.
This one is a great shitty horror movie. It's called The Jack in the Box. Okay. I got it for $5 at Walmart.
Quality.
Exactly.
Rollback.
For context, was just at Walmart shopping, needed a few things, walked past the $5 bin. Mm-hmm. Glanced down and saw they had just saw the cover, and the cover was like just the picture of this creepy Jack in the Box and the words "The Jack in the Box" in like a crazy font, and I was like, not even fully impulse buy. And then right next to it was the newer It, so I was like, fuck yeah,
okay,
gotta get that. Yeah. $10. I
good pick.
I gotta build my horror DVD collection, so grabbed, came home, was like, we're watching this one for sure. Like, gotta watch this. This looks terrible. Just look at the box. Look at the cover. It's
in that $5 bin with all those movies.
Exactly.
Those are the best ones, though. You never know what you're gonna get. It might end up actually being not as shitty as you imagined.
That's the thing is I've noticed about horror is even the shitty horror movies are fucking entertaining. Yeah. I don't know if it's just the horror fans in general, but horror fans love shitty horror movies. And it's just one of those things where it's just like, oh God, it's just so bad. I don't want to talk about the way it ends, but if you watch it, the way it ends, you're just like, oh, you're a bitch.
Wow.
So
I'm sold.
So I was at Walmart yesterday.
When aren't you?
I was looking for, shower heads to use as a bidet.
Oh, okay. God.
And you didn't tell me about this when we were voice noting?
My bad.
Fuck.
I'll let you borrow the DVD if you want.
Oh, okay.
Why are we talking about bidets all of a sudden?
Well, no, that's why I was at Walmart.
We were having a weird conversation yesterday. Anyway, shitty horror movie recommendation this week. They're not always going to be shitty, but they're going to be horror movies recommendations. Is The Jack in the Box. Check it out. Find it wherever you can. Don't pay more than $5 for it.
Is it on Shudder?
I have no idea if it's on Shudder.
It might be on Shudder. I'll check it.
I haven't watched any Shudders recently.
Me neither. I think the last one I watched was Three from Hell.
I did watch this one a little while ago, and just to have the Shudder recommendation that I said I'll be doing.
It is on Prime Video.
It is on Prime Video. Check it out.
Is it free on Prime?
It better be.
Yep.
Good. Oh, nice.
Good.
Sweet. There you guys go.
Let me see. Save me the cover. Make sure it's the right one. Yep, that's it. So just to make a Shudder recommendation, their Christmas special they put out this year.
What? They had a Christmas special?
They had a Christmas special.
Get the fuck out of here.
I forget what it was called. It was fucking Santa's Sleigh.
I have heard of that movie.
Santa's Sleigh is a good horror movie. But just find the Shudder Christmas special if you haven't already watched it and go watch it. It's fucking great. All I'm saying is, like, Santa makes a great horror villain.
Mm-hmm.
And elves are evil. Also, werewolves kick ass. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil any more than that.
Fair enough.
It's just fucking great. It's a great, horrible movie. But are you guys ready to jump back into this? We got a couple more nursery rhymes, and then we got some riddle-a-diddle-as.
Yeah.
Riddle-a-diddle-a-do.
Who's going next?
I guess I'll go next.
Go for it.
All right.
Make it quick.
I'm going to make it quick because I am not 100% on par with this one. But you guys have all heard of London Bridges falling down.
London Bridges falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridges falling down, my fair lady.
Yeah, so it all ties into that. So I don't know if any of you know London Bridge is, you know, that bridge had, you know, had a bunch of catastrophic failures happen to it, from fires to kind of like the old lore that wasn't actually proven about the Vikings when they came in.
Right.
So there was a Viking leader named Olaf Haraldsson, and he allegedly had pulled it down during an invasion of the British Isles. So there was a lot of like stuff surrounding that about it coming down and stuff. But I'm going to make this one real fast. That attack had never been proven. It was written in old Norse poems and stuff. But it was written in 1230, and there was a verse that sounded close to the nursery rhyme translating to "London Bridge is broken down.
Mm-hmm.
Gold is won and bright renown." So
what could that be referring to? Any speculation here?
Because they came into, the Vikings came in, tore the bridge down, spoils of war. What did the Vikings do? They raped, pillaged, took money, whatnot.
Oh, good times.
Yeah, party.
Fucking yeah.
But that wasn't the only event that could have inspired the London Bridge rhyme. It was damaged in 1281 due to ice damage.
Mm.
And it was weakened by multiple fires in the 1600s, including the Great Fire of London in 1666. 666.
Nice little but it numerology
survived.
Connection.
It there. Actually never came down. It survived 600 years later, and it never fell down. It was actually demolished in 1831 because it was more cost effective to replace it than to rebuild it. Right. But this is where it gets dark.
Oh, here's where it gets dark.
So there was an author of a book called The Traditional Games of England, mm-hmm. Scotland, and Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And it was written by Alice Bertha Gaum, and it suggests that London Bridge is falling down, the rhyme, refers to the use of medieval punishment known as immurement, which is when a person is encased into a room with no openings and no door. No, I'm just kidding. That's Haunted Mansion. With no openings and no exits, left there to die. So they're basically walled in.
Right.
During, you know, these times as well, what does it say here? There's a lyric, part of the lyric that says, "Take the key and lock her up," as a nod to the inhumane practice mm-hmm. of that.
Yeah.
And the belief that sacrifices may have been children.
Yeesh.
So not just people that were encased, these
you
were
went
children.
Real dark with this
yeah.
one.
So according to her, people during those times believed that the bridge would collapse if there wasn't a body buried inside of it.
Oof.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's no proof regarding this, but supposedly there could have been children's bodies in the bridge holding it up, supposedly.
You know, the femur's the strongest bone in the body, so if you're going to build something,
yes.
build it right.
Right?
With femurs.
Yeah, so there's also the matter of My Fair Lady, or of the Fair Lady, thinking of My Fair Lady, the Broadway show. It's the only Broadway I've ever seen, by the way. That was really good.
Jeez.
But
I didn't even know that reference. Damn.
Some believe that she may be the Virgin Mary, as the part of the theory of the rhyme that is in reference to a centuries-old Viking attack. Supposedly, the attack happened on September 8th, the date when the Virgin Mary's birthday was traditionally celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Vikings were unable to take the city after they burned the London Bridge, England claimed the Virgin Mary, or Fair Lady, protected it. So My Fair Lady, like, she protected the bridge because, you know, the bridge never actually collapsed.
Right.
Yeah, so that's crazy. And I mean, it goes on, there's more about it a little bit, but it's, you know,
it's very interesting little history behind it for sure.
But that's London Bridge is falling down. Bury your children in it to keep it renowned. I guess
that's how that works. I think that's how that works, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, like, you know, I'm gonna have a kid to make sure my housing structure is built properly.
Dude, so, Jennifer is just staring you down.
I'm gonna get stabbed tonight.
Yeah, you are. Sleep with one eye open.
She's gonna build
you.
The foundation of this home and relationship,
right?
By giving birth to a child that you're going to. Are you gonna lay in the foundation, or are you gonna put it in the walls? You're going to have multiple.
I'm
going to
blend
sure.
it and put it everywhere.
Okay. Just make sure you use the femur for structural support. I'm trying to dodge here as an Ugg boot is about to fly across the room and hit Brett in the head.
Oh, man.
He's going to be Humpty Dumpty in a minute.
Damn. I'm going been a Humpty Dumpty tonight.
Oh, no.
I am so sorry.
I do not know would this you, man.
Would you accept my gift of this knife in return for my actions so you could stab him later?
Yeah. We mentioned that one.
We mentioned that one.
Kings Med had
scrambled eggs for breakfast again.
Oh.
Ah. All right.
Are the eggs referring to his brain?
Oh. That's fucking brutal.
Some.
That's so fucking metal.
Cerebellum tartare.
Nice. Yes. Yes.
All right. We got one more rhyme, and then.
I think I got one more. If you,
yeah, Lewis.
Unless you want to go.
I got nothing. I got some riddles.
Okay. Let me do this last one, and this last one's pretty fun. Rub-a-dub-dub. So.
Sounds like a prison song.
Rub-a-dub-dub. Three men in a tub, and who do you think they be? The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, and all of them out to sea.
So they're voyeurs too?
Well,
you're
jumping the gun a bit here.
I mean, yeah, hold on a minute.
So the earliest version of this rhyme published differs significantly in their wording, dating back to the 14th century. The original rhyme makes a reference to maids in a tub, a fairground attraction similar to a modern peep show.
So before you jump any further, you want to hear the altered version for kids?
After I read this. So the rhyme is a type of calling out to otherwise respectable people for disrespectable actions. In this case, ogling naked ladies, the maids. The
Can
nonsense.
We define ogling?
Matt, you've done some ogling.
I know. I just want to, for the listeners.
If our listeners don't know what ogling is, then fucking go back to school.
Is it ogling?
Ogling?
Oogling sounds even better.
Whatever. Staring creepily.
Staring creepily is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. An ocular pat down.
So the nonsense rub-a-dub-dub develops a phonetic association of social disapprobation, analogous to tisk-tisk, albeit a more lascivious variety. So the nursery rhyme is a form of teaching such associations. So yeah, this pretty much calls out those respectable... what's the word here? I'm looking for. Come on, guys.
I don't know. What word are you looking for? You're the one looking for it.
Sorry, the hamster's running as fast as he can on the wheel.
It's been a long day. I'm sorry.
My hamster's taking a nap.
What hamster? What are you talking about? We don't talk about hamsters anymore, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So it's calling out all these respectable people, like the candlestick maker, the butcher, the baker.
For watching porn.
Yeah, basically.
Live porn.
No, I wouldn't say porn. More like, what is it?
Strip show?
Yeah.
So is that what rub-a-dub-dub meant?
I believe
that's what
that meant.
Are they rub-a-dub their dubbing?
Yeah, they're rubbing.
They're rubbing their nub. Yeah, rub-dub-a-dub their nub.
Dude, the altered version in here is really different. It's really weird. So if you guys want to hear that.
They don't want kids rub-a-dubbing each other.
Let me read to you, though, the original version.
Oh, okay.
Because what I read to you, rub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub, that's the altered version.
Okay.
The original version is, hey, rub-a-dub, ho, rub-a-dub, three maids in a tub. And who do you think were there? The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, and all of them gone to the fair. So, yeah, and in the original one, it's very explicit. It's
right, they're going to watch a smut show.
Basically, yeah.
This one's fucking weird. So, this one goes, rub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub, and how do you think they got there? The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, they all jumped out of a rotten potato, 'twas enough to make a man stare.
What the fuck?
Right? Like, that was just the writer going, yo, we can't talk about porn. What do we do? And the guy was like, baking a potato, and he went, they jumped out of a potato.
Yeah, so.
It was so, yeah.
It's just what is it? It's calling them out, like, yeah, basically, like how, somebody maybe found them peeping, and they're like,
right,
"Oh,
like,
I'm gonna call you out, motherfucker!"
This respectable person, you know, want
respectable
to,
professions.
Respectable
that's what
the,
I was looking for. Respectable professions.
How dare this respectable professional have a different interest other than what's, you know, not normal? Like you,
a very Christian.
You fucking heathen.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're not being very Christian, you know. Because
that's the way to live.
Yeah.
If you don't live the way we live, fuck you.
Gesundheit.
No, it's
Jinx.
Achoo.
Oh no, he's got the black plague.
Oh shit, we're fucked. We got the bubonic plague.
Oh fuck. Well, it was nice knowing y'all.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it was nice while it lasted.
Don't eat any bats.
Might as well fornicate in the graveyard.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck it. Let's go fuck on a rock.
In a post-mortem gangbang.
All right. Wait, post-mortem? How are we all going to fuck when we're dead?
No, you fuck till you're dead. You don't fuck after
so
you're
dead. So it's pre-mortem gangbang.
No, post-mortem.
Unless you're a mortician, then I mean.
Oh, are you going to keep going if someone dies?
Post-mortem. Yeah, no, yeah, that one.
I'll say one thing.
I just
that
think
was one thing. Good job. That was one thing.
I just thought it sounded nice. Postmortem gangbang. It sounds like it could be a band
like
performing
at
Coachella,
name,
you know?
Right?
Yeah.
Like on second stage, postmortem gangbang, right after Black Eyed Peeps.
Yep. I was just thinking of that freaking that psychobilly song that was like Dead Girls Don't Say No, but you still got to bring them flowers. It was all about necrophilia. Wow. Yeah.
That reminds me of like the Kung Fu Vampire song, just straight up. Dead girls don't say no.
You fucking necrophiles, get out of here.
All right.
So I think that's enough for now.
I got one real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
It's so all fucked right, up go. And dark, it's going to fit in. So Peter, pumpkin eater.
Okay.
Keep going.
Had a wife and couldn't keep her. He put her in a pumpkin shell, and there he kept her very well. What it's really about, though...
Oh, well, it's fucking dark.
Murder.
Yeah, it's murder.
He just
his wife kept running away, so he killed her and put her in a pumpkin and kept her in there so she couldn't run away anymore.
All right.
Fucked up.
Well, then.
Really quick, really
and
quick.
Supposedly, she was a prostitute, and that's why she kept running away.
Really quick.
So she wasn't even his wife. He was just buying her for the minute, or for
and
the hour.
I'm just going to mention this one real quick, because I mentioned it earlier in the episode, it wouldn't seem right if I didn't mention it again.
Okay.
Baba Black Sheep, have you any wool? Yes, sir, three bags full. One for the master and one for the dame and one for the little boy who lives down the lane. Do you guys know what this is all about?
I think so.
Okay, go ahead. I want to hear your interpretation of it.
Basically, the little shepherd boy didn't get any money.
Right, and this is it. Yeah, it talks about taxation.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so, you know.
Because the king or whatever got the tax, the... What was it, the clergy or whatever?
So under decree, a third of the money made from a sack went to King Edward I, with the remaining two-thirds going to the farmer and the church, hereby leaving no money for the little shepherd boy.
Fuck.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
So the guy doing all the work...
gets no money. Because the church has to get paid, the king has to get paid, and the farmer has to get paid.
Fuck churches.
Yeah.
Taxation is theft.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There's another possible interpretation, but this one's a little darker. It has to do with slavery because of the words master and black.
Yeah,
so
that's what I took out of it.
By association, people interpret it as something to do with slavery,
right.
When in reality it might not even have anything to do with that.
Right.
I feel like it's more or less about the that's
pretty
tax.
Yeah, that's overtaxed.
Well, yeah, because people would turn these nursery rhymes, like Brett was saying earlier, about talking shit on the king and queen without doing it I'm going to get burned at the stake way.
Without, they're saying, hey, fuck you, king, without saying, hey, fuck you, king.
Yeah, so they're like, fuck these taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, cool. It's fun to learn about these, like, nice little nursery rhymes and their dark history, you know.
Yeah.
Their hidden meanings and origins, and I hope you guys enjoyed that. But let's move on to something else, shall we?
We've got some riddles lined up for you guys. That was kind of fun last week.
Yeah.
So I built a pretty good list of them.
Go ahead.
For you guys. So, Matt, I'm going to try to turn this so you can't see it. The first two are strictly because I chose them, and that's the only hint you're going to get for possible answers.
Shall we call this Riddle Me This?
Oh.
Okay. This segment.
Riddle me music. All right. What has...
Way to make it weird.
Yeah,
thanks.
I got to. What has 13 hearts but no other organs?
13 hearts but no other organs.
Better yet, what can get cut on a table but never eaten?
I know what it is. It's a deck of cards.
Is it a deck of cards?
13 hearts.
Yeah, the 13 hearts. That's what I was thinking. I'm thinking in my head. Wait, how many?
And you cut it on the table.
And then he said that, and that sealed it for me. I was like, yeah, it's got to be a deck of cards.
All right, here's one I like. Lewis, this one doesn't apply to you because I think you heard this one before. So, Matt, I am an odd number. Take away a letter, and I become even. What number am I?
I'm an odd number. I swear I've heard this one before. Take away a letter, and I am even. I'm going to be so pissed when I don't get this one because I can't about think about it.
It's so easy.
Think of the way I worded it.
How'd you word it again?
I am an odd number. Take away a letter, I become even. What number am I?
I feel dumb. I don't know.
Seven.
You take away the S.
Spell out seven.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I have heard this one.
All right. Here's one I found just for both of you. Walk on the living, they don't even mumble. Walk on the dead, they mutter and grumble. What are they?
Can you repeat that one more time?
Walk on the living, they don't even mumble. Walk on the dead, they mutter and grumble. What am I?
A zombie. I don't know.
Zombies make tons of noises.
I don't know.
You guys ready?
Ready.
Leafs.
Oh, you bastard.
Yeah. This one's all right. Let's see. I got two more, and then we could do. Do you guys have any?
Yeah, I'm trying to get some. I'm looking for dark riddles.
All right. What kind of band never plays music? I think someone got it.
One of those Livestrong bracelets.
You're close.
A headband.
We can accept that. I heard a gasp over there. You want to yell it?
Rubber band?
A rubber band.
Oh.
All right, Matt, this one's for you.
Oh.
Before Mount Everest was discovered, what was the highest mountain on Earth? I hate the answer to this one.
Well, before Mount Everest was discovered, what was the highest mountain?
Yeah, what was the highest mountain on Earth?
Everyone's laughing like they got it, and I don't understand it.
It's the answer right in front of you.
You're going to hate the answer.
Yeah, I'm going to hit me with it.
Mount Everest.
Just because it wasn't just discovered doesn't mean it's stupid.
Oh, God, boy. I hate that one. It's so good. All right. Again, one for Matt. What's got four wheels and flies?
An airplane?
A garbage truck.
A garbage truck. Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right. I think airplanes have six wheels.
Yeah.
All right. I got one for Matt. Matt, a woman shoots her husband. She plunges him underwater for several minutes, then hangs him. Right after they enjoy a lovely dinner. What happened?
God, you should get this one.
It's something to do with BDSM.
Oh, God.
Wow. She was hanging him, like suspension, and they had dinner.
Read this again, Matt. You of all people should get this one.
A woman shoots her husband. She plunges him underwater for several minutes, then hangs him. Right after, they enjoy a lovely dinner. What happened?
She ate him? She's a cannibal?
No, he ate too. He ate too. Matt.
I don't know. Yeah.
Matt, what do you love to do?
Take pictures.
Okay, what does that make you?
Photographer.
Okay.
With a camera,
you shoot somebody.
And then you shoot.
Okay, yeah.
And then you
She took a picture of him and developed it in the dark room. And
hung it. Oh, okay.
She held it underwater.
Yeah, I mean, I know you don't use dark rooms anymore because you're all fucking DSLR, but maybe 5 years ago that
It's all digital
good.
Now.
All right, fine. Let me tell you guys some dark riddles.
Okay, let's get dark.
All right, let's get dark, guys. I appear everywhere except in the dark. What am I?
Light.
There you go. I was going to ease our way into dark.
Come on now.
Like, no pun intended. Oh, my God. I was carried into a dark room and set on fire. I wept, and then my head was cut off. What am I?
A candle. Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Come on, Matt.
All right. If you had only one match and entered a dark room containing an oil lamp, some newspaper, and some kindling wood, it says, which would you light first?
The match.
These ones are easy.
Dude. I didn't read these ones before I started going off.
These are logical ones.
Yeah.
Matt. A butcher stands 6 feet and 1 inch tall and wears a size 12 shoes. What does he weigh?
Wait, a butcher is what?
A butcher stands 6 feet and 1 inch tall and wears a size 12 shoe. What does he weigh?
I have no idea.
Come on in and say it.
Terrible at riddles.
Say it louder.
Meat.
Meat. He's a butcher. So what does he weigh? It's not Lick actually asking you how much he weighs.
Smart. The person who built it sold it. The person who bought it never used it. The person who used it never saw it. What is it?
What was that one more time?
The person who built it sold it. The person who bought it never used it. The person who used it never saw it. What is it?
I feel like I should know
this
one.
Remember, it's dark. I can give you a hint if you want a hint.
Go ahead.
Think about death.
A coffin. Open.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. Smart.
Many may hear me, but no one sees me, and I only speak when spoken to. What am I?
Oh, I know this one. I think I know this one.
I only speak when spoken.
You've heard it. Here's another one.
I think I've heard a variation of this one.
I'm going to say that one again, and then I'm going to read another one. They're both the same answer, okay? Many hear me, but no one sees me. And I only speak when spoken to.
I think I've heard this one. Or maybe a variation of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazon Alexa?
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Here's the second one. Here's the second one. And the answer is the same. It lives without a body. It hears without ears. It speaks without a mouth. To which air alone gives it birth. What is it?
I think I've heard this one. Or maybe a variation of it.
I don't know. I'm terrible at riddles.
They're both the same answer. They're both the same answer.
That doesn't change anything. I'm terrible at
riddles. I'll give you a hint.
I was giving you a hint the whole fucking time.
I was listening to you.
Time he was talking. Pay attention. Pay attention.
I'm trying to pay attention.
Pay attention. Pay attention.
It's just my brain doesn't connect.
One more time. One more time. One more time. One more time.
An echo?
Hey!
B. God.
Matt.
Lives without a body, hears without ears.
How much dirt is in a hole that measures 4 feet by 4 feet by 5 feet?
How much dirt is in a hole that measures 4 feet by 4 feet by 5 feet?
Yeah. I got this one immediately. Turn your brain off. It's a lot easier if you don't. It's
6 feet of dirt? I don't know.
It's a lot easier if you don't think about it.
I overthink everything. So
okay, then, Matt, stop thinking.
So
it doesn't even matter how big the hole is.
Yeah, don't let the specific numbers fool you.
If I dig a hole 1 foot by 1 foot by 1 foot, how much dirt's in that hole?
None.
Hey!
There you go.
Oh, man.
Okay, so here's a long one.
Okay.
This one's interesting.
Oh, Joey, here we go.
I don't know. If you thought, and I'm going to let you guys know, if you think of this answer quickly or easily, you might be a psychopath.
Okay, go on.
All right, cool. I like cycling.
Psychopath.
I like cycling on paths.
A young woman is attending her mother's funeral. While there, she meets a man she has never seen before and falls in love immediately. After the funeral, she tries to find him, but cannot. Several days later, she kills her sister. Why does she kill her sister?
So that she can meet the man again?
Because the man is dead?
Is that the right answer?
No.
It could be, it could not be.
I don't know.
I just want to see what his... Put it this way, Brett's a psychopath.
What? I mean, we all knew this already.
She
let's
met
be
the guy at a funeral, right? She thinks she's going to meet him again at the funeral.
Yeah, so she killed her sister.
Oh my god.
She says here she killed her sister hoping to see this man at her sister's funeral.
Wow.
That was just a logical step for me. That wasn't
Jesus
even like a
Brett.
I wasn't even trying to like think psychopathically. That's just like, yeah, she met him at a funeral.
You were thinking psychologically?
I was thinking logically. Let's create another funeral so she can meet the guy. What do you need? What's the most important thing at a funeral? A dead body.
So you know on this cover art?
So you created that body.
Literally, the title for this episode that you guys are listening to right now is called The Dark History of Nursery Rhymes.
Right.
And as you can see, if you look in the wherever you're viewing it, look at the cover art in the bottom corner. You see where it says, is Brett a psychopath?
Right, that's like, why are we asking rhetorical questions? I already know I'm a psychopath. Look, most like, dude, psychopaths, there's psychopaths throughout all of fucking society. Yep. Whether or not they murder somebody is a whole nother fucking story.
Hitler was a psychopath, okay, but yeah, he was extremely intelligent.
That's taking it a whole nother step. Fucking Steve Jobs was a psychopath. Bill Gates.
Yeah, he made the iPhone.
Bill Gates. No.
Here we go.
Bill Gates is a psychopath. Most CEOs and people in high-power jobs are, by definition, psychopaths.
Now, what's the difference between a psychopath and a sociopath?
A sociopath cares more about themselves than... There's a lot of differences.
Right.
And this is a whole other episode,
mm-hmm.
so I don't want to dive into that just now.
Because the differences between psychopaths and sociopaths?
Because one, I haven't done
my full research.
And two, I don't want to fucking, like, be wrong about what I say. So tune in to maybe not next week's episode, maybe the one after that. A future episode for sure. But yeah, CEOs and people in high power jobs are often can be described with psychopathy because of what is needed to be done in that job and the way that you rise up to the to that kind of power. You have to step on people and you have to throw people under the bus and not give a fuck, especially in corporate America. It's a fucking disgusting work ethic in corporate America. People who work in offices, if you can fuck over Jan in accounting to get ahead in your career, people will fucking do that. And that's the textbook definition of a psychopath. I don't give a fuck about your livelihood as long as I can press mine forward and do better in my own life. If I gotta fuck you over to do it, I'm gonna do it. And that's what a psychopath is.
We're friends with this guy?
So, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir.
That's true. He's not wrong.
Sir, can you get off that soapbox for a second, please?
So, I have...
Oh, thank you.
I have one more riddle, and it's another long one that was crafty like that last one. I want to see if our listeners enjoy these type
of riddles. I think we should do one more round of riddles, and
call
it a night.
So, this one is called A Young Girl Was Found Murdered.
Okay.
On the first day of school, a young girl was found murdered. Police suspect four male teachers and question them.
Mm-hmm.
They were asked what they were doing at 8 a.m. Mr. Walter, I was driving to school and I was late.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Thomas, I was checking English exam papers. Mr. Benjamin, I was reading the newspaper. Mr. Calvin, I was with my wife in my office. The police arrested the killer. How did the police find the murderer? Remember, the proof's in the pudding. I can read it again.
Yeah, read it again.
Okay. So, remember, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but these guys, the cops asked them what they were doing at 8:30, right?
Okay.
So, Mr. Walter was like, I was driving to school and I was late. Mr. Thomas was, I was checking English exam papers. Mr. Benjamin, I was reading the newspaper. Mr. Calvin, I was with my wife in the office. But remember, they found this girl on the first fucking day of school murdered, and police suspected these four males.
It's the last guy.
It's the teacher?
Four male teachers, and they all had an alibi.
It's the last
guy. So one was driving to school, and he was late.
Mm-hmm.
That's Mr. Walter. Mr. Thomas was checking English exam papers. Mr. Benjamin was reading the newspaper. And then Mr. Calvin was with his wife in his office.
The English teacher.
Why?
He was grading exam papers?
No. No.
On the first day of school?
The last guy. Wait.
That one didn't make sense to you?
We've had exams on the first day before, but I was thinking it was the first guy because he was with his wife.
An English exam on the first day of school?
I've seen some fucked up teachers.
Yeah, but generally speaking, they're not that fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So it was Mr. Thomas because he can't be checking exam papers on the first day of school.
Huh.
Yeah.
Right. They make you think. They're like those math problems that are a paragraph, and you have to sit there and like, how many this many ducks crossed the road?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And laid eggs. How many eggs were fried on that pan?
I feel smart.
Right.
Okay. The one I'm going to throw at you guys is, you guys might have heard this one already. The Riddle of the Sphinx?
I might have heard this one.
Okay. So the riddle goes, what goes on 4 feet in the morning, 2 feet at noon, and 3 feet in the evening?
Wait, okay, so what goes on at...
What goes on 4 feet in the morning, 2 feet at noon, and 3 feet in the evening?
To be 100% clear, I don't like this one.
Because he can't figure it out.
No, I know it. I just don't like the answer.
Yeah, I don't know.
To really know the answer, you have to think of morning, noon, and evening as stages of your life. So in the morning, in the morning stages of your life, you're a baby. You crawl on four.
Yeah.
In the noon stages of your life,
that's why I don't like this one.
You're a man. You walk on two. In the evening stage of your life, you're an old man. You usually walk around with a cane. Three. Yeah.
That's why I don't like this one. Like,
it really makes you think.
Well, you gotta think. Like, I wasn't even thinking. I was touching on Egyptian history, but I didn't like dive into it because I didn't think it was that deep. Mm-mm. But if you go into Egyptian history and how the symbolism and how things are, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that this riddle was going to dive deep into a very specific pool of people that know about this stuff.
Yeah, that's like for fucking Egyptologists.
So why didn't you like this one?
Because you have to fucking have a very specific, like, knowledge set to understand what they mean by evening, noon, and night.
Yeah.
Or morning, noon, and evening, whatever. I just, that's like, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Go.
My last one. What can you hold in your left hand, but not in your right?
My phone, because my fingerprint's only registered on my right thumb.
Okay, imagine this is 1999.
Your right hand.
Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong.
Okay, that's not wrong, but that's not...
Wow.
Okay, yeah. But technically, if you close your hand into a fist, you're holding...
You're not holding your hand.
Okay, you're not wrong, but the answer was your right elbow.
I mean,
these guys are here trying to hold their right elbow with their right hand.
I figured I could do it because I could twist my arm around in 360 degrees, but no, I can't.
Wait, what? You can?
Yeah.
You haven't seen that?
No.
You really haven't seen that?
On next week's episode.
You're going to have to show me after the episode.
I'll show you after the episode.
I think that concludes our episode for today, right? I hope you guys learned something today, and if you didn't...
Didn't you have advice?
Well, then maybe pay better attention.
No.
No, you didn't?
No. Okay.
I mean, I can ask you guys what can't talk but will reply when spoken to.
I don't know.
It's an echo. Another echo one.
A fucking another goddamn echo one.
I found so many.
Okay.
And I'm trying to like hurry up to find some shitty advice.
Nobody's got bad advice of the week.
That's what I was trying to find. I'll find a hilarious piece of bad advice. You
we
just
should
wait.
Stockpile some bad advice.
We really should.
Here's the last one.
Okay.
Here's my last one. If you have me, you want to share me. If you share me, you don't have me.
Oh, I know it.
What am I?
I got a lot of
Wait. Read that again.
If you have me, you want to share me. If you share me, you don't have me. What am I?
Gum.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I can rip gum in half and give some away.
Well, you know, in high school, you open gum and then everybody takes it and it's gone.
Man, your fucking answers are bad and you're not looking at the mic.
It's supposed to be funny.
It wasn't.
A secret.
Once you share a secret, it's not a secret anymore.
Yep.
Oh, that makes sense. Probably why I didn't get it,
because it's
logical. I can't keep secrets.
Well, that too.
No, I'm just kidding.
Hey.
That's why we don't tell you anything.
Hey, what disappears the moment you say its name?
Me?
Silence. Oh my god. Ah, I got
because
the whisper
I thought
thing
it was Matt because Matt's not here.
Yeah, but you're always here.
I know.
So, should we call it?
Let's call it.
Well, right. I got okay, there's one shitty advice of the week that's going to
okay.
be forced
oh,
into
here.
Here
we go. Here we
hit
go.
Us. Hit us with
it's
that gonna
shitty
advice.
It's going to be forced in. You guys should be communing with nature. You know, get out in nature. If you guys see a bear, but you don't have time to run away, just hug it. Because bears can't scratch their stomachs. So if you're face to face with a bear, hug the bear because it won't get you because they can't scratch their stomachs. Now, how you get away from that bear, that's all on you, and kick we're not it. Liable for that. So
kick it in the balls and run.
That's all the time we have for this week's episode. Make sure you guys check us out next week when we talk about, I don't know, something.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
we'll cook up something good.
The CC?
Let's see.
Cubic centimeters?
Ah, yes, yes. We might do that one.
That one's kind of a heavy topic. Yes.
It is a bit of a heavy topic.
Are we really going to jump into it? Should we decide right now and tell everybody? And then we can have people send in information? Or we can make that the following week's episode, which would make it episode number 4. And that gives people time to get their opinions in on us.
Yeah.
I know that gives them time.
Let's do the time thing. Give them some time.
So, not this next episode, but the following episode.
So, episode 4.
Episode 4.
If we don't end up interviewing anybody,
we're going to be discussing
cancel culture.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this is going to be a heavy one.
Yep.
We're going to piss some people off.
Oh, for sure. We
might, guaranteed.
We that's fine because they pissed me off by canceling everything. But we'll talk about that.
I've been trying to end this episode for like a good solid 5 minutes.
We're not letting you do it.
No, you're not. Except.
Hi, everybody. So, welcome to this week's episode.
Of what? Hit it.
You know what? You're unfucking believable, man.
You know what?
You know what?
Brad, I thought this was going to be a moment where we talk shit on Lewis. And it's terrible timing.
What the fuck? What? You can't talk shit on me, motherfucker.
Why are either one of you fucking
okay,
talking?
Okay, wait, whoa.
Let me finish, dickhead. Why are any of us talking over the outro
you know what?
Music?
Fuck you guys. Listen, I'm out of here.
Listen, why are we talking shit on each other? We're supposed to be talking shit on our listeners.
Because our listeners actually fucking listen to the podcast. I don't listen to the fucking podcast.
So we should talk shit on Brett.
You know what? Our listeners are a bunch of...